Words of Grace and Truth. At the last week's sermon, Ian started with some definitions of grace, some fantastic definitions of grace. And I remembered, for me, I've always seen it as unmerited favour. It means good things, really good things happening to you when you actually don't deserve it at all. That's what grace is about. Communion is about grace. It's about God in Jesus giving up his life for us when we don't deserve it. And Ian mentioned words of grace that are spoken to us. And sometimes we have the privilege of having words actually given to us in prophecy, particularly for us. But, you know, there are words in the Bible that apply for all of us. So if you sort of think, but I don't know what God's said particularly for me. I don't know what gifts I've got. What's for me? There's loads of words in here that apply for everyone. So I've chosen a few today just to look at and to bless us. But before I do that, I thought we'd look at the parable of the sower. Because Jesus told this story, and it's particularly about words of God. It's about the seed. So Jesus said, once there was a farmer who went to sow the seed, like they did in those days, just throwing it everywhere. And he said, some fell on the path. Do you remember? You all know this story, don't you? Put your hand up if you know the story. And some, the seed that fell on the path, it got eaten by the birds, that's right. It didn't stay any length of time at all. And then some fell among the rocks. And that didn't last long because the sun shone and the seed withered because it got no roots. Yeah. Then there was some that fell among the thorns. And that grew up to start with quite well. But then the thorns choked the seed and it didn't last. But the last seed fell on good soil and it produced a harvest. And the disciples said, okay, well, what's that about, Jesus? What are you trying to say? And Jesus said, well, the seed is the word of God. It's the message of the kingdom. It's the words that can do you good. But it depends on how you receive it, whether it does any good or not. It's what your heart is like that makes the difference. And if your heart is hard, not the birds, but the devil will come and take that away. You'll see the words of truth, but you'll say, they don't apply to me. I don't know what they're on about. And before you've gone, had another thought, the words have gone out of your head. They haven't lasted any time at all. The words that fall on the rocks, he said, the people there receive it, but they've got no roots. So as soon as difficulties come, they forget it. They need more help than just the words. And he said, there's some that falls among the thorns. And it says, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. There's some old-fashioned words, aren't they? But everything that's going on in life and what we think we want out of life gets in the way. And we think that is worth more of our attention than the words of God. But some of our hearts are like the good soil, and we absorb the word of God. We take it in. We think about it. We meditate on it. And it produces fruit. It changes the way we think. Because we're looking at it and we're thinking, oh, that's what it says. I need to take this in. I need to think that that is the truth. And then as we think about that being the truth, it actually changes the way that we live our lives, our behaviour. And then God brings the increase. You see, we have to do something, but God brings the growth. It's God that makes us more like Jesus. But we have our part to play. And it's a big part that the words of truth are an important way that we grow. It's not the only way. Because we need the Spirit too. We can have as many Bible verses as we like. Probably they will make a difference because God gets through anyway. But we do need the Spirit as well. But I'm not going to talk about that today. Today I'm just thinking about the words of truth. Truth can make such a difference to our lives. So I've just chosen 6 verses of scripture, and I've actually put them all on the screen. I have got some copies later. Lamentations, this is actually Lamentations of Jeremiah. It comes after Jeremiah. And it's for, it's a time, Jeremiah had a rotten job, you know. He had to tell everybody how everything was awful. And I think at times he was quite depressed. And that speaks to a lot of people in this world that are depressed. And yet he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It's because of the Lord's great love we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So on those days, if you get days when you don't feel like getting up, when it just doesn't seem worth it, this verse can speak to you because God's compassion, God's mercy is new every morning. Every day we can start afresh. Now there's another verse. This one might be the one that God wants to speak to you. Now, sometimes we just don't know what to do in a situation. Whatever we do is going to be wrong. And then we got this verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God promises wisdom. When we don't know what to do, he will give us wisdom. That's what that verse says. Or maybe when you've got those background anxieties, that's, it's not just one thing, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on, a whole lot of anxiety. You don't know what to do. And this verse in Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares about you, about every single thing. He knows everything about you and he cares about you. So you can just put your anxiety on him. This verse, I didn't initially choose this verse, but sometimes we feel how much we've let God down. How much we've done things that really weren't what they should be. And we know it. And we know we've failed, and we know God asked us to do something and we didn't do it. I often find it's those sins that of omission, not commission. Not just what I do wrong, but what I am supposed to do that I don't do. But this verse here says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? To purify us from all unrighteousness, we can be like a little newborn baby again, not having done anything wrong. Just clean us. Everything in the past that has not been right, he says he will purify us from all of it. And then it's another verse that whenever we feel that we're a bit out on a limb, we're lonely, other people don't understand, or God seems not as close as we want him, we've got this verse: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. That is a great thing, being content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then this verse that always speaks to me, because I'm somebody that I think quite a lot of us find it difficult thinking about what other people are going to think about us. Are you ever like that? If I do so and so, what will somebody think about me? And sometimes it's even what strangers will think about me. It's just ridiculous. And we worry about what other people are going to think about us. We're timid and we're afraid. And we don't take up God on what he can do because of that. But this verse says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Did you, Lord? Shall I read that again? This is what you've been given. A spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Have you ever argued with God? I have sometimes, and said that, you know, you're asking too much. It's too difficult. I can't cope. And he says, you can. And you have this argument. It's a waste of time arguing with God, because he knows everything and he's right all the time. And this is what he's saying here. I will give you that spirit to discipline yourself when it's needed. So I'd just like us to spend a short time just asking God to give us a heart like that good soil, and to highlight one of those verses for us and say to God, I will meditate on this. I will make that change me. So I'm just going to have a few minutes of quiet, and then I'm going to say a bit more. How we respond to God's word doesn't only affect us, it affects the body. If I grow spiritually, I will be more of a blessing to you. If I don't grow spiritually, I won't be. If each of you become more like Jesus, which is what I mean by growing spiritually, growing in maturity, you will be more of a blessing to us as a body. And if you don't, we won't get that blessing. We're interdependent. These words of truth are for us individually, that we will actually enjoy life more, because we will know what it is to walk in grace and favour like Jesus did. But as a church, we will be stronger, because the gifts that God wants to give to each one of us, he wants to give for the church. They're not for us to enjoy. They're for the church, for each other. He blesses us that we might share our blessings. And it's not only that. The church is supposed to be blessed so that we might bless the community, that God's kingdom might grow in this area. So sometimes what seems to us to be something for us as an individual actually has much bigger consequences. And God wants us to grow as a body. He wants each one of us to encourage each other. And I was thinking about the gifts that God has given to this church. I thought, there are loads of people in this church that have the gift of encouragement. That's the gift of just caring for one another. That's a gift, and we want all of us to have that. There are gifts of exhortation. It's a big word, but it's about sharing God's truth with one another. And he wants those to increase. There are gifts of hospitality. And there are a lot of them in this room. But he wants those to increase too. There are gifts of discernment. And he wants those to increase. So that when we pray with one another, when we talk with one another, we can really help each other. Often it's somebody else that can see what you need to do when you can't see it in yourself. There's gifts of administration. I was thinking this morning, what would we do without Kevin? What would we do? You know, without the newsflash, without... you know, all the finances and all this equipment stuff and everything. It's such a blessing. And what would we do without people to lead the worship? It's such a blessing. And we have gifts of prophecy. We'd like more, but there are people that speak words from God to us. We would like more. But God has given us gifts. And as each one of us, you know, feeds on his word, absorbs his word, God will be able to increase that gifting. And we'll find we've got more. We are supposed to be a body together. And I said at the leaders' meeting that I might read a verse from James. And I'm going to read it. And I think this is part of us being a body. He says, James 5:14, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." You know, it's up to us as members of the body to come and ask for prayer. Call for the elders. Because they won't be able to do anything, but God will work through them. That's what the word says. So, when you need help, when you need encouragement, whatever you need, do ask. We are a body. And the leaders are servants. No, we're here to serve, to help. I hope we don't lord it over you. I don't think we do. But we are here to serve. We're here to help. There's a pastoral team. If you want a visit, all you've got to do is ask. We want to help. And I think it's not just the leaders that want. There's loads of people in the congregation that do want to help. So please, use the body, because that's the way that God has designed it to be. He's designed it not just to be individual Christians, but to be a body of Christians helping each other. That's really all I wanted to say. I've put some of these words, if any of you want them, at the back. But do meditate on them, because God can change us through His truth.